Everyone, it's another week with a brand new episode, and I have the honor in introducing Melissa to Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. Melissa, I am so glad to have you on, and I know it's been some time, and hey, we actually just met each other today, so I always tell them a good story of how we met, but I am so grateful to have you on, and really about this topic, too.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for spreading so much truth out there and like doing these interviews. It's so important and so powerful to get these messages out. So thank you for having me.
Yes. You know, it's been so eye-opening. And with this being the last episode of season three, this finale episode, I think it's one, a really good topic. And two, I've learned so much with each and every episode. It has been eye-opening, but most importantly, I want other people to experience and hear about these different topics that we're covering, since mental health was kind of something not talked about for years on end, and stuff that we deal with as humans, I feel like is so pushed to the side. And, you know, we see a lot of, I would say, perfectionism, some fake things kind of come to light more than what humans actually experience. And I think that has been my biggest thing about Clarity this year, was just really giving the platform for others to realize, like, you're not alone. Like, we're all human. Like, we're living the human experience. And it's so crucial. And please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Amazing. Thank you. So yes, I am Melissa Eliyahu. I live in Los Angeles in Malibu, California. And I have two little girls and I unschool them, which I'll talk more about in later in the episode. But I do self-love coaching and inner child healing work because I truly believe that it's the kind of stuff that just can't be bypassed. Like, there's so many different types of alternative therapies out there, but I really believe that in order to truly love ourselves, which is something we've never been taught, like in school, we never learned how to love ourselves. Our parents never taught us how to love ourselves. They didn't know how to love themselves. If anything, we were taught to like be good little boys and girls. Don't be sad. Don't be upset. So like, you know, the whole thing is, how do we have compassion and how do we have love for ourselves if we've never been taught how? And so the inner child work is really what helps to get you to that space of feeling the love and the compassion and seeing yourself as like a little boy or a little girl and just seeing yourself as that little being and being able to like open your heart and love yourself. So the work that I do is really powerful and so transformational. And sometimes just a couple sessions with someone can like completely transform their world, because it's really when we make that sacred love connection with our inner child, let them know you are not alone anymore. I'm sorry that I've abandoned you. And because that's what we do. We abandon ourselves and we get lost out there in the weeds. And so it's like, once we make that love connection and let ourselves know, like, you're not alone anymore. And I'm here for you. And I love you. And you're amazing. And you're incredible. And then you start to create a connection and you start to feel, let them feel safe. And then they start to open up with you and share with you. And it's like, you create this beautiful collaboration connection with your inner child and do this deeper healing work. That's when all the magic and the miracles unfold, which we'll talk more about in the episode. But that's kind of the work I do, inner child healing, self-love, guided meditation. I'm a really big fan of really staying in the present moment and keeping our mind quiet and cutting all cords of the past, all the programming, all the stories that we hold on to that can go back 7+ generations. And so the ultimate goal here is to get ourselves to a state of quiet mind and meditation so that we can return back home to this present moment, which is all we truly have. And when we come back to the present moment, then we can tap more fully into that love that we are and the light that we are. And then we can start to see and manifest our dreams into reality. And then we start to actually see that it's not us having to chase after what we want anymore, but if those things start to make their way to us, and it's the opposite of all that we've ever been taught from the system upon which we live in. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit about what I do. And I just like, I love it. I love to help people love themselves. And it's been a really powerful journey for me, learning to love myself. And, you know, it's an everyday journey. It's a continuous journey. It's not just like, oh, I love myself now, all is good. No, it's like an everyday thing. How am I treating myself? How am I speaking to myself? Am I being loving? So yeah, that's what I do.
I absolutely love that. And that's why you're perfect to come on here and really talk to people. So my first question is, when did you start your inner child work personally?
So I did about, my daughter is eight. So about 9, 10 years ago, I met this lady who, she was really well known in Israel for being this really powerful healer. She would go into children's bodies. She used white light to heal, and she would heal children with cancers and illness and disease by going into, on an energetic level, like going into their bodies and finding, like, maybe in their stomach, their mother was there, in their lungs, their father or their aunt. And like, she would remove them and they would heal. These children would heal. And so she decided, like, she was this powerful healer, healing so many kids, but she was like, I want to teach parents how to do this work, because I can only help so many people, but if I can teach parents how to do it, then they can, like, heal their children, they can heal themselves. And so her whole thing was inner child healing work. And so I did a course with her here in Los Angeles about like 9, 10 years ago. And that was kind of the beginning of it. And I had, at the time, my daughter was about like 4 maybe. And she was very introvert, very shy, very quiet, very insecure, very shut down. And the minute I started to connect to my inner child, the minute I said, I see you, I hear you, I love you, you're not alone anymore. And I brought her into my arms. And I started to talk to her and hug her and hold her, was the moment my daughter started opening her arms to me, because she used to like push me away. She wouldn't hug. She would like, like push away. The minute I started to do that, my daughter started opening her arms to me. She started to hug me. She started to become more expressive. She started to become less shy. She started to like open herself up more. And what I realized is she was a reflection, and our children are reflections of our deeper wounds, our inner child. And so she was reflecting my inner child. She was reflecting that I was abandoning my inner child. And so she was pushing me away like I was pushing my inner child away. And when I brought my inner child into my arms and started to like love her, then my older daughter started to come into my arms and give me love and hug me and hold me and open up. And, you know, and so it made me realize how, like, how, you know, in alignment it all is, and how our inner child and us as mothers connecting to our inner child and loving ourselves is directly connected to our children and their level of self-love and self-worth and all of what they accomplish in their lives. So we're just all so interconnected. So kind of like, that was the beginning of my inner child healing journey work. And it's just so powerful.
That's, I'm over here like jaw dropped. Wow. Wow. Because I personally don't have children, because I haven't been able to, but that is so eye-opening, because I often think of like my mother and what she had went through, and I lost her at a young age too. And the inner child work, I had even gone to therapy, and that was not even a topic of conversation. It was very much like, what happened this week? And you know what I mean? Or if I talked about something from before to really, you know, dive deep, it was just kind of lingered. It was never really taken anywhere, if that makes sense. But I started really surrounding myself around self-love coaches and people who have done the work, because it is work there. There's an entire process to it. And my coach one day said, if you don't listen to her, she's going to be kicking and screaming because she wants to be heard. I was like, I never thought about that. Why do you think we, one, aren't taught this, and two, we push it to the side? We kind of just leave ourselves hanging.
Right. Right. Well, I feel like it's just societal programming, you know, like it goes into much more depth than that, because like ultimately we've been living in this system that is all about control. And so therefore, if we do discover our truth and do discover our power and do start to do the deeper healing work, then we start to, you know, become more light. And we're kind of in the middle of this energetic battle between the dark and the light forces, the dark forces being the government and the control and the system and the programming, and the light forces are the light workers, people like me, that are helping people to awaken to the truth of who they are and awaken to their light. And this darker forces and this programming upon which we've been living, which created the education system, which also keeps us in this like box. Everything is just keeps us in these boxes and keeps us programmed to make us believe that everything we want is out there, and that we have to work so hard to get to where we want to. We have to go to school, to college, to university, to get the thing that we want to get to. And then we get to that thing, and then it's the next thing and the next thing, like we never actually end up getting there. And so, you know, it's kind of just been indoctrinated into us to like stay separate from who we are. And as we discover our light and our power and our truth and start to like really allow ourselves to be seen and heard, then we take back our power, and these darker forces won't be able to control us anymore. And therefore the programming and all of that stuff is kind of falls apart, because we can't be programmed. We can't be controlled. We discover our light, we discover our power, we discover our infiniteness, because we are like literally infinite beings of light. And yes, we're in this physical body, but we're spirit beings. And so we're so powerful, and we don't even realize how powerful we are because of the indoctrination of the education system and the programming upon which we live and how we've all been placed in these boxes. And, you know, everyone does things the same way. We've been taught to work like factory workers. We've been taught that, like, you got to go to college and get a good job working for somebody else. Why do I want to work for someone else? Like, I want to work for myself. I want to do my passion. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to go to school and college to go work for someone else. Like, why? But that's the system which we live, and that's the programming, mm-hmm. and that's how deep it runs. And but, you know, again, we're living in a time on earth right now, which is a very exciting time, because we're going through a very big shift where people are waking up to the truth of who they are. Mm-hmm. They are seeing through the illusions. The COVID thing that happened, it really woke and shook a lot of people up to becoming more present and slowing down and realizing, like, we've been in this rat race running and running and running, and like, what really matters? What matters is when everything's gone, family and being together and just being in the present and not running everywhere. And so it's woken a lot of people up, and there's more light on earth than there's ever been, more people spreading truth. And it's because we're going through this mass awakening, something that's been written about in the Torah. It's been written about, Jesus spoke about this time way back when. Jesus was one light worker, right? He was like spreading love and light way back when, but it was at a time when there was so much darkness that his message, the system didn't want his message getting out. They didn't want people knowing the truth of who they are. That was what he was there to do, to remind people, like, look within yourself. And so, you know, what happened with him happened. But now here we are, there's thousands of Jesuses on the planet today that are spreading that message of love and light. And so there is, and he spoke about it. He said in the 2000s, there's going to come a time where the people are ready for this message, and they're ready. It'll be ready to be received. And so here we are going through this shift in consciousness. We're evolving. We're moving into this age of Aquarius. And it's such an exciting time to be alive, if you choose to look at it that way. I mean, there's two realities that we're living in, right? Like, there's this beautiful heaven on earth reality, which is in our inner state. We've been taught that heaven on earth is out there, when really heaven on earth is within us. And when we align with that within ourselves, our entire external reality becomes that of love and light and beauty and magic. So we have two worlds here, and then we're stuck in fear-based programming. Or we can choose the other path and go within and find our light and, you know, all the work that we're talking about here, the inner child work, and starting to love ourselves and starting to get to know who we are and getting more quiet and becoming more present and finding that light and love from within us. And then from there, our external reality becomes the most beautiful reflection.
That was so beautiful. And thank you for breaking that down, because I often think of like light and dark in that sense. I love that you put it in like the Jesus aspect too. And I always think very like Harry Potter, like, oh, we got to like fight this darkness. I have to say my eyes definitely after 2020 were very much open. And then this past year, I feel like I've grown tremendously, but I've also found so many people who are waking up. And then when I get around someone who's not, I'm like, oh, like this is where I was. You know what I mean? Like, this is where I was. And like, a lot of it has, like, for me, it was healing. And then when you talk about power, I gave my power to everyone out there. That's what I ran on for like a decade until I completely burned out. And then anxiety became a thing because I wasn't paying attention to me. And it's so eye-opening when you step back and realize that you were the person actually giving the power away, and now being able to really take it back. That's really the journey, I would say, for the past 6 months. I've been really honing in on taking back my power and standing in and taking up the space I need to be who I am. And, you know, that's shutting down the people pleaser in me, the perfectionism, you know, thinking, just like what you said, I was the destination seeker. So once I get to this job, then I'll be happy. Then I'll live a successful life and I'll be this person instead of just being me right here, right now. And you talk about being in the present. I even this weekend, I did a post and I was like, look, the best gift I can give myself is to be present and really enjoy this weekend. And I just took a step back and it was such a relief that I could just do that and be completely just let it go. And people will understand.
And that's how we have to start living every moment of every day. And then the plot thickens, because then we start becoming more present in our life. We start to learn that we start getting all, we have all the tools, right? Like cutting cord. Cord cutting is something that's really been powerful for me, where you find yourself back in a thought pattern. Oh, that's just a story of the past. That's a story that's not true. That's a story I've been telling myself. That's a story that maybe goes back 7+ generations. It's not the truth. It's not the reality. It's not in this here and now present moment, because all that's in this moment is presence. And so you continue to cut those cords to bring yourself back to the present moment. Once you get to the point where you are able to stay fully in the present moment throughout the day, and really, and it takes a lot of work, because we're human beings and there's a lot of external noise and a lot of stuff and stimulation. So it really takes a lot of like honing in and meditation and getting quiet and becoming very aware and conscious of every moment of every day of where am I thinking, where am I mind, what am I thinking? But like, to really, am I here now in this moment, or am I in a story from my past or thinking about my future? But once we get to the point where we can start to become present and still, and this opens up a whole nother world, but we start to realize that, you know, this reality that we live in, our external reality, is a reality, the only reality we've ever seen and we've ever known and we've ever been taught about. But the magic is that when you start to get your mind quiet, a whole nother veil becomes lifted, and there's a whole nother world that exists beyond this physical reality. And it's called the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, you've got your angels, your ancestors, past loved ones, you know, like all these beings of light, gatekeepers, Jesus, Mary Magdalene, like all the beings of light that are here to support us on our ascension journey, on our growth, on our expansion. They're all here for us. But it's like we have this door in front of us, and it's closed for the most of us. But when we open that door and we get our minds still, suddenly we open up, we lift the veil, we open up this whole nother world where we are so connected and so supported. And then we are able to really receive direct communication and direct messages from our angels and our guides to support us on our journey, on whatever our soul purpose, because we all come to the earth with a purpose, and we all come with some sort of mission, some purpose. There's a reason we incarnate. We don't just come here to like live a life and then go. Like, we come here for a specific reason. And once we start to get closer and closer to our soul's purpose for incarnating here, like the closer we get to it, the more we start getting quiet, the more we realize how supported we are, and the more the support system can support us in pursuing our passion, our purpose, and our gifts on the earth. And they are supporting us so fully, but we have to get quiet in our mind. And we have messages all around us all the time, but because we're so in our thinking mind, we're missing the messages. A song might come on the radio, the numbers, the time, the billboard, the bird that just walked, flew by, like everything's a message, the breeze, like every single thing's a message, but we miss the messages because we're so busy thinking and we're so busy in the programming of our minds that we're not living in the present moment. But once we start to, because we think we, but like, how can I be present? I don't have time to meditate. I need to do this and I need to do that. But the thing is when you start to get more present, you become in the flow of life. And then suddenly all those things start to get done through you. It's not a you doing them anymore. It's like they do you, you know, like they move through you, and it's like you're in this flow state, and it's so powerful.
Oh, I love that. First of all, that was amazing. Can you explain a little bit about the storytelling that we do to ourselves and how it can go back the 7 generations?
Yeah.
Because I think that is so crucial.
It really is crucial, right? Because the thing is our parents are holding on to wounds and trauma from their childhood, which comes from their parents. And the pattern repeats itself until we decide to wake up, to become aware that these are all stories based upon wounds from our parents and their parents and their parents. And oh, my dad actually had anger towards me. It had nothing to do with me. He was hurt and wounded and felt insecure because he had a childhood where he was put in this like some boarding school. And so he felt incomplete and like not good enough and not worthy. And so his way of dealing with that was getting angry, and he let out anger, and I took it personal, but it never had anything to do with me. So it's like, you start to kind of break those things down and realize that nothing is ever personal. Nothing ever was personal, and all we are is love. And we have these records running in our minds and these stories that are just continuous, and they just keep going and going until we become aware and until we decide, okay, I'm going to break these patterns. Even in relationships, we choose partners based upon our parents and how we were treated, and it's not necessarily like healthy, you know, like
not at all.
That's what starts to happen. Yeah. And so it's like, you have to become aware, and you're like, oh wait, that's why we see so many people that like, maybe their father was an alcoholic. They end up getting married to an alcoholic, and then their children end up getting married to an alcoholic. But when that person awakens and becomes conscious and they're like, oh, I'm repeating a pattern here. Like, I want to break this pattern. then boom, like I'm recently separated from my husband and I realized that I was in a pattern and 14 years of marriage, beautiful. He's amazing. He's incredible. I love him so much. Mm-hmm. But like, I just realized I was recreating the marriage of my parents. My dad was angry. My mom would shut down and I just looked at it as that was normal. That was all that I knew. Yep. And so for 14 years to me, we had a perfectly healthy and happy marriage. And now I'm like, oh my God, like I thought it was healthy and I thought it was good because that was all that I knew. That's what healthy marriage looked like to me and my family, that my dad would get angry. My mom would shut down. My dad would yell, get short, get snappy, be up, be down. My mom would shut down. And that was kind of like the pattern repeating itself. And so finally I've broken the pattern and now I'm like flying and I'm free and it's amazing and it's powerful, but it takes courage also to break those patterns sometimes because you might be in a marriage. The whole nine yards and you're like, shit, I'm in a pattern here that I need to break this pattern. And but like kids and the husband and we should just stay together for the kids, but no, I'm like, I want to be happy and I want to be free and I'm not going to do that. And yeah, and so it's like that's kind of like the breaking down of the patterns and continuously reminding ourselves that we're just telling ourselves stories all day long and those stories aren't true. And it's not, stop believing everything you're telling yourself, stop believing everything that you're thinking, because it's just not the truth. It's just not the truth.
The reason why this is important to me is because when someone said, oh, you know, you're telling yourself a story, and I'm like, I'm not making anything up over here. Like, what is going on? And it was like, don't trust everything you think. And I'm like, what does this mean? And I'm over here just like, you know, brainstorming, and I'm a seeker. So I'm like trying to figure it out. And when I finally realized the stories I was telling myself, it was the biggest game changer. And I'm to the point where I have gotten silent, but I am definitely a work in progress when it comes to the stories. I can catch them now, but I was living with a negative Nancy. I used to be a positive Polly and got really kind of jaded through the things I was going through and didn't realize that change. And then I was just beating myself up, telling myself all these negative things and living in that fear base until I just kind of broke. There was one day that I just broke. It was after my third miscarriage, and I talk about it on the podcast, but that was the time I had to get super silent, and silence was really hard for me. Like it was uncomfortable. I was like, what am I doing? I don't know, but I just know this is what I needed. And that is something that I actually tell people to do. I said, it's not easy, but even just a few minutes to start with to really get silent, because we are distracted. You know, I get in the doom scroll easy on the TikTok. We do have everything flashing around us that it's hard to just get silent. And we're always being like these human doings instead of human beings. And it's so different.
I was talking about last night with a friend of mine. It's like, we've been so much ingrained in this rat race of needing to be doing and doing and doing and doing. Yes. From the time we're put into the education system of kindergarten and tests and homework and studying to get to first grade, to second, to third, to fifth, to high school, to college, to a job, to buying a house, to getting married. Like it's always been this, like we've been programmed that we need to be doing, doing, doing. And the minute, it just seems so foreign, but like, how can I just be? Like, I have to be doing something. I can't just be, I got to do. But when we start to learn how to be more, really be though, like be fully in the present moment and let go of our thoughts, surrender our thoughts, become still, then all those things we've been chasing for our whole lives are able to make their way to us because we are aligning within ourselves. And when we align with love and we see our light and we see our power, like, when we see how powerful and truly powerful we are, that's when the world sees it too. And I was talking about like in a relationship, like my husband and I separating, whatever, but like I started falling more in love with him than I've ever been in my life the last couple months of our marriage. And I'm like, how am I feeling so much love for you? Like, I love you more than I've ever loved you. And when I realized it was because I was starting to love myself more, and you can only love someone as much as you love yourself. And so my heart was opening for him. It was opening for all beings in my life because I was starting to love myself. And the truth is, it's like we go through these relationships not really loving ourselves. And so we don't even know what love actually truly can be. We don't know the power of how unbelievably, incredibly amazing it can be because we haven't fully opened our hearts. We go through life like holding on because of our wounds from childhood. So we're protecting our heart because we don't want to get hurt because we've got hurt in the past. But that's the past. It's not the present. So it's like, again, the cutting of the cord so that we can open our heart back up. And then once we open our heart and we learn to really, truly love ourselves, then we can be loved in the way that really is authentic, real, true love. And then we can love other people in that way. And it's like, oh, this is real love. Like we think we love each other. We think we fall in love and we get married and we have a fairy tale wedding and all this stuff, but underneath it is we have these deep trauma and deep wounds. And so we're not actually truly like loving each other because we're not able to fully love ourselves. And we can only love them as much as we love ourselves. So it's like, we don't really know what true authentic love is until we get there. And then you get there and it's like, whoa, like it's almost like uncomfortable because it feels so good. Your heart starts opening and it's like, this is so foreign. I want to close it, but I don't want to close it. I'm going to keep it open, but it's crazy and it's intense, but it feels so good. It's like new. It's a new feeling. It's new territory. And then as the heart starts to open, all the magic, the rainbows, I always see rainbows. And I say, because when you enter the present moment, the rainbows are everywhere. The magic is all around us. Heaven on earth is rainbows, right? We've always been taught heaven on earth is rainbows. It's magical. It's beauty. It's birds. That's what starts to happen when you enter the sweet spot of the present moment and you really fully connect to the energy of love, then your world becomes heaven on earth, and every mirror, every reflection, every person in your life, it's just like magic, magic, magic everywhere. And you're like, oh my God, there's magic everywhere. It's amazing.
Oh, I wish everyone could see your face, but since we do audio, just because you light up so, so much. That's like, I can feel like what you've like gone through, and I can like see it just because of where you are now. And I feel like too, because we get so like this checklist, I call it the application that we of life, where you have to check everything off in order to be successful. You have to have the house, the kids, the marriage, the perfect marriage. And you can't, you know, say anything is ever going bad, but you're also two different people. Like, I'm not Crystal at 20. I'm not Crystal at 16. Like, I'm completely different. And I love about just, you can really only love someone as much as you love yourself. And we're taught to, you know, pour into everyone and they will pour back into you, which yeah. we know is not the truth whatsoever, because there are a lot of people that will not like pour back. And we're sitting here like, well, I gave everything. Like, what am I supposed to do now? And it's eye-opening, but I think that that is honestly what happens in marriages. I know that even just the little bit I was working on with my first marriage, it was like, I for sure married a replica of my father, for sure. And I'm glad the things like have separated us, because I feel like I would still be living in that marriage where it was like my mother and father, which is the number one thing we know we don't want to do, but sometimes it ends up happening. And it's,
we know it's what's comfortable.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you. Yes, that's literally it. So with that being said, how do you teach the girls to really be open and to love themselves? And you call it unschooling? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Or new earth schooling, but that's a very good question because our children, again, are reflections of us. So like, I could all day long tell my kids, okay, like, you know, let's go look in the mirror, say I love you, do all these things. But the truth is they could do that all day long. But if the mother, the parents aren't loving themselves, and like the children aren't going to love themselves. So it, again, mm-hmm. all comes back to the parents. And it's like unbelievably magical how, as I started to really move more deeply into loving and seeing my light and seeing my power more fully than ever, they're, my girls are like blossoming. They're just reflections of love. They're hugging each other, holding each other, loving each other. They're best friends. They respect each other. They come to me, mama, you're the best mom in the world. I love you so much. And it's like love pouring out of them because we do. So how do you teach your children to love yourself? By being the role model and loving yourself. And the truth is, as parents, if we don't do this deeper healing work and we don't heal our deeper wounds and we don't like do the inner child work, which is, you know, I talk about healing the deeper wounds. I truly believe that the inner child healing work, you don't have to go back into all the stories of what happened in childhood. All that we really need to be doing is picking up that little girl or boy, putting him in our arms, hugging him, her, holding her, loving her, printing a picture, talking to her, expressing our love to them. That is where the true healing happens. Like, we don't necessarily need to go into all the stories. Well, this happened and that happened. And we don't need to make sense of it in our mind. We just need to love ourselves by connecting to our inner child. And so as parents, it's the most important work that we can do, because then if we're doing the deeper healing work and we're learning to love ourselves, then we're saving our children this whole lifetime of trying to figure that out themselves. And then they can move more fully into who they came here to be and their purpose and their gifts and their passions much more quickly, smoothly, and easily, versus them having to deal with their own trauma and healing their own deeper wounds, because their wounds are our wounds and they're just reflections of us. So if we heal them, then we're healing it for them too. So yeah, so that's like the first part of it. And then like I chose you know, I chose to opt out of the system in every which way that I could. Like, even from the time I had them, I birthed them into the world at my home where I used to live. And I did water births for both girls. And those, I mean, those are just all beautiful. It was beautiful, blissful, natural, mm-hmm. pain-free birth. I learned about like pain-free natural birth. And I discovered that it's possible and that there's a lot of people that have that experience. It's again, like the programming, we see movies of screaming and pain and birth. And all we know of birth is it to be scary and painful and traumatic. And all we want to do is numb it out or C-section it so we don't have to deal with the trauma of childbirth, because that's all we've ever been taught. We haven't been taught that birth is actually something that's very beautiful, something that doesn't have to be painful, something that can be effortless, something that can be blissful. Like, we don't, that just sounds foreign, you know, like people mm-hmm. thought it was crazy. And so when I had that experience by surrounding myself with birth stories that were beautiful birth stories and people that had pain-free births and natural births, then I was able to experience that for myself with both of them. So anyway, I opted out of the system fully. I had both of my girls at home. Once it was time for school, I decided that I would start. Well, it wasn't until quarantine that I really started moving more into unschooling. They've always been in alternative schools. One was a Waldorf and one was like a passion-based learning school here in Malibu. But once the quarantine happened, I decided to, before it even happened, I pulled my oldest out of school, and I just learned about unschooling, where it's really just about allowing them to be who they are in the world and not trying to force reading and writing on them and not trying to force all these things that like the education system does. Like, by 5, you need to know how to read. By 6, you need to know how to write. By 7, you need to know your math. Like, all these things, again, it's putting people in boxes, because some children aren't maybe ready to read until they're a little bit older, like learning math or numbers, and some people, like some children have passions that are based like something else that you're not going to get from school. So unschooling is just like really nurturing your child and allowing them to be who they came here to be and letting them, you know, grow, expand, and reach those places on their own. And even from the time they were babies, I always was like, I never put them in a sitting up position. I never held their hand. I never did tummy time. Like, I completely let them be independent and get there on their own, so their spine could properly develop. And, you know, like, they become independent little beings. And it's the same, it's like a continuation with this education, because it's my oldest daughter, like, she got to reading on her own and decided she wanted to read a chapter book or started to write on her own. And it wasn't like me being like, you need to now write your ABCs and you need, you know, and it took me like a year of deprogramming my own mind, because, you know, the belief is that they need to know this by this age. And of course, comparing to their friends who are in the regular school system that know are way far advanced in terms of the reading. But the thing is like the social and emotional skills that they're receiving from being unschooled, and like what they're learning about themselves and getting to know, like connecting to the earth and connecting to love and connecting to the truth and playing music and doing all these things that really, and traveling and seeing the world and exploring different cultures. Like, I feel like those are really life skills, you know, like reading and writing, whatever, they're going to learn all that stuff, and they are, but all the like life skills, learning how to communicate, how to properly express yourself, like all of that stuff. Yeah, that's like really worth the unschooling for sure.
All the things that we wish now that we would have had when we were younger. Yes. And I love the approach that you're taking, because one, it's like this new thing. I think that we always think that we have to stick to the system, like you said. And then I wish I would have been able to, like, I wish my mom would have done that, because I was a sensitive girl and I was just to myself, and I feel like I didn't get to bloom. I feel like it took years and years. And then of course, wow. And then, you know, another thing that you touched on too was about printing the picture and talking about yourself. And you can't see it right now, but I have a younger photo, but I also have one from probably one of my hardest times in my life. And I definitely would go back and should on myself so many different times. So I have this picture next to me so that I can just talk to her. And the way I look at it is that, like, just like you would talk to a child, like, you wouldn't sit there and say, hey, you need to do this, or you need to do that, or you didn't do that, you should have done, you should have known. Right. No, like, you talk with the compassion. You're like, no, it's okay. Like, and you're really there. And that's the biggest piece. But to be honest with you, compassion has been, for myself, has been the hardest thing for me. I'll be completely honest. Hardest, like gripping, like my coach is like, Crystal, you have to show yourself more compassion, give yourself more grace. And I'm like, I don't know how to, I don't know how to. And it's taken time. It's taken these practices. So that is a really good tip for anyone listening. Get a younger photo of yourself, put it next to your bed. I have mine next to my workstation where I am each and every day to remind myself. And I just, me and her have like this little discussion each day. So, and she's always right there. Like I always got my back before anyone else. And
it's that's beautiful.
Like, yes, even trust. Like I sat there and think I led from fear because I didn't trust myself. I wanted everyone else, you know, it, not necessarily pour in, but like to be there. If I fall, they're going to be there. Oh, I have nobody because I don't have my parents and I don't have a good relationship with my older siblings. And I'm like, oh, well, if something happens, I'm going to end up back there or end up, you know, living like my parents. And it's been just so eye-opening. But to come back, like compassion and grace, that is my biggest heavy hitter this year that I have had to learn and instill practices so that I can do that for myself.
Well, and that's exactly it. The compassion key part is like key, and not only compassion for ourselves, but compassion for others in our lives, because, you know, everything external is just a test. And when we get triggered, you know, it's just some, it's not, you know, we want to blame the other person. We always want to just blame the other person for speaking to us a certain way or treating us a certain way. But like, once we can learn to have compassion, and what is that doing is it's us having compassion for ourselves, but we're having compassion for them. Like for me with my separation, like there was times that my ex, like he would like not speaking to me very nicely. I could have definitely like gotten really not nice back, but I just had compassion and I just saw like a hurt little boy. And I just saw through the mean, I saw through the anger, I saw through like, you know, all that. And it's like, the more we can see through the external noise and like whatever's showing up in our lives, the triggers and tests that are showing up, the people that might be treating us in a way that we don't think we deserve to be treated. The more we can see through that and see that they're hurting and they have wounds and that it's not, nothing's ever personal, that's for sure. And so they're just speaking in a way to us because that's how they feel within themselves. And it's not personal. It's never personal. Nothing's ever personal. And so the more we can have compassion for others, and when we have compassion for others, we're having compassion for ourselves. And I think for most of our lives, we abandon ourselves. And that's why the inner child work is so powerful, because it's like reconnecting to ourselves. It's like re-honing in, re-grounding. And, you know, the abandonment thing is a big one. And so the minute we like start to bring ourselves back and connect with our inner child and love ourselves and have compassion, boom, it's like everything shifts. And we start to realize like everything in our external reality is just a reflection of our level of self-love. And as we start loving ourselves, then externals reflect. So we want to blame our relationship, our partner, our family, our friends for being this way, being that way, not being this way, not listening, not hearing. When the truth is they're just there as mirrors pushing on some deeper wounds that are within us. And they're just pushing on these wounds that are asking to be healed. So triggers and tests are actually a window to our soul. And if we can start to look at them as like, oh my God, I got triggered. I'm like, instead of getting angry and mad, looking, it's like, oh my God, okay, this is an opportunity, a window to my soul. What is this bringing up for me? What story am I telling myself? This is how we get to the story of our limiting beliefs, through our tests, through our triggers. The people who triggers you the most in your life, look into that, think about it, write it down. Who, there's always that one person that really triggers you so, so much. You figure that one out, right? And then you're like, okay, when they trigger me, what comes up? I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm not feeling like they're hearing me, they're not listening to me. Okay, let's go deeper. I'm feeling alone, I'm feeling unwanted, I'm feeling abandoned, I'm abandoned, abandonment. Oh, there you go. You get to the core of your limiting beliefs, abandonment, fear of being abandoned. And so then you get to the core of it and you're like, oh, wait, but like, I'm not abandoned. I'm never abandoned. I'm never alone. And that's the other part of it is like, we're so supported. We're always supported. We have our angels and guides that are with us. And although we sometimes might feel so very alone, we're never alone. We're never alone. And when we start to realize that this external reality is just an illusion, and there's actually a more powerful reality that exists when we lift the veil, and the spirit world is right here. They're all here. They're all here, like waiting for us. You know, it's written in the Torah about our guardian angel. We all have a guardian angel that comes with us from our past into the, this isn't like woo woo crazy. This is the truth. Like, we do have our angels and guides that are with us to support us on our journey. And it's like, we're not alone. We're so not alone. Yes. And it's just so beautiful once we start to tap into that more fully.
I mean, that's the literally the ultimate goal, and and something that we're not taught either. So you, as a self-love guide, I have to ask, what is next for you?
Thank you for asking that question. I am currently calling in speaking opportunities. I see myself speaking to large groups of people, sharing this ancient wisdom that is within me. And I feel that, you know, we all have this wisdom within ourselves, of our, the DNA of ourselves, but it's locked up, it's locked, and it's been unlocked within me. And now I'm tapping more fully into it. And I'm here to share that message and share that light and remind people of the truth of who they are and remind people to come back to love. So for me moving forward, just big speaking opportunities, speaking to larger groups of people, creating women's circles, and just like bringing community together. I'm here in Malibu. I'm doing something really big and exciting where I'm like creating these big events where it's bringing the conscious community, the community together, and bringing people together for collaboration, connection, love, all of that, like really creating community, more community in every which way and everywhere I go. And then ultimately my goal is to live and move to Costa Rica and just kind of like live in the jungle with my kids and raise them in that way. So, I mean, you know, I'll have a place here, maybe in a place there and back and forth, but I see myself heading over there and having a farm, biodynamic farm, and sustainable and solar by the sun and chickens with eggs and all that kind of stuff. Like that is, I have, if you saw my room right now, vision boards of it, my farm, I see it, it's there, it's all around me. I got horses and goats and all of it. It's all happening.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I feel like you're just like so free, like even just like your energy that I can see, it's just so freeing. And I like that idea. I actually know quite a few people who have done that and have some of them have three, some of them have one house. They just go between them. And I think deciding what is right for you, there's power in that as well. So where can everyone follow you?
So I have a website, people call me Mama Sunshine. So mamasunshine.com, M-O-M-M-A, mamasunshine.com. I'm on Instagram, Melissa_Eliyahu, E-L-I-Yahoo. And I'm on Facebook too. And yeah, I do inner child healing workshops through Zoom. I'm going to start doing them more like in person. And yeah, so if you're interested, reach out. Self-love coaching, reach out. I do like complimentary and exploratory 30-minute coaching sessions to see if it could be a good fit. So yeah,
reach out. That's perfect.
If you're interested in learning to love yourself and dive deeper on this journey so you can create and manifest the life of your dreams, because the truth is it's not out there. We've been running our whole lives searching out there for the thing that we want the most. But when we align and we love ourselves, all those things start to come to us. And you're like, oh my God, I didn't know it was supposed to be this easy. You just get to let go and allow it. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Completely. And I will include down in the show notes too, all of your links. So people can just press the button and make it really, really easy to come find you and follow you, because I want to see all the stuff that you're doing. I want to see the stuff that you're creating in Malibu. So please keep me informed as well. I would love to support in any way.
Wow. Thank you for having me on.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so, so much. And I just want to tell everyone, please go follow, like, subscribe, and then head over to Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. Like, subscribe, push the buttons and do the things. And I will see you. Well, this is the end of season 3. So I will see you back for season 4 and I will announce it on Instagram. So go over to @thecrystalfox and I will announce when season 4 is coming out. I can't believe this. It's the finale. Woo! Okay, everyone, thank you so much. Goodbye.